called to order. We first on the agenda for today, yesterday, we heard from law enforcement. Today we're hearing from county attorneys and public defenders, defense attorneys, I should say. First testifier from the county attorneys, if you want to come forward, please introduce yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you for inviting us here. My name is David Brown. I'm the Chief Deputy Hennepin County Attorney. With me is Rick Dusterhoft of the Ramsey County Attorney's Office. He is the Criminal Division Chief in their office. Before I begin my comments, I should let you know that the county attorneys do not have a position on this piece of legislation. We are here because we were asked to be here and to provide some factual information to you. So we're not, I'm certainly not prepared to talk about the details of the bill, but the question was posed to us, what would some of the consequences be with different retention periods for data taken off of license plate readers? And from our office's perspective, it really becomes an important investigative tool in serious crimes. I was given less notice and so wasn't able to pull up the actual case where this occurred, so I apologize for that. But we did have a case, a homicide, in Hennepin County where one of the pieces of information that helped us solve the crime was in fact data from a license plate reader. It took the police some period of time to develop a suspect. Once they did, it became important as to what route the person's vehicle may have taken, and we were able to identify that data and then together with other information use that to assist in the prosecution. So from our perspective, it's really how long this period should be is really a policy decision for the two bodies. And we aren't trying to take a position there. But as you balance the privacy interest against the investigative need for law enforcement, keep in mind that particularly with regard to serious crimes, it can take a period of time before law enforcement's able to develop a suspect, and that the information we develop can be both inculpatory, show that somebody committed the crime, and exculpatory, to the extent that they give us an alibi that says they were somewhere else, and we can use that data to show, in fact, that corroborates that. That's a piece of evidence that can help exonerate them. And so this data, if it's not there or not made available to us in these serious cases, we will, of course, continue to investigate and try to solve these crimes and prosecute them to the best of our ability. But that's your trade-off that you're making in deciding what's a retention period, is that obviously the longer we have it, the more access we have to that for solving crimes and or exonerating someone. The shorter period of time, it's just not going to exist for us.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Brown, in your example, at what length of time before you were able to use that? Not that it's that way every time.
Mr. Brown?
Senator, Mr. Chair and members, because I wasn't able to pull up the case, I'm okay. Reluctant to tell you it was 30, 60, 90 days. I don't have that information. My recollection in discussing that with our prosecutors who handled it at the time was it was some period of time. This is a crime that was not solved for at least a month, and it was then being able to go back and review that data. But I can't give you a particular period of time. I apologize.
Senator Hall.
Sure. Then, Mr. Brown, can you give us the range of typical? I mean, is it 1 month or 1 week to a year? Or are we talking most of it's in between, 30 days and 60 days?
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Chair and Senator Hall, I wish I could tell you there is a typical solve time for homicides or other serious crimes, and the truth of it is there isn't. Some cases we're able to develop suspects immediately based on witness statements or observations, and others just take good old-fashioned police legwork, and it can take, as you know, weeks and months and sometimes, unfortunately, years. And so so I can't tell you that there's a typical amount of time. I can point out.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Then, Mr. Brown, is your testimony then that the longer the better for your sake?
Mr. Brown?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hall, that's certainly a fair characterization of the impact on our criminal prosecutions, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Dustoff, did you have additional testimony?
The only thing, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to add is that oftentimes it takes a period of time for this information to get entered. Sometimes a crime isn't noticed immediately. Sometimes a car isn't reported as stolen immediately, and it can take a period of time for that to be reported. And if that information isn't entered immediately, the license plate readers, the information can't be used then, if it isn't retained, to find someone's property, to return someone's property, or to solve a crime. And to add to what Mr. Brown said, the statute of limitations for most crimes is 3 years, but for murder, there is no statute of limitations. We've got cases in our office now from the 90s back to the 80s, where obviously this information wasn't available back then, but going forward, it takes years sometimes for homicides to get solved. And then if you can go back and sift through this data, if it is still available, it could be useful in solving crimes and proving who did it or who didn't do it.
Questions for the testifiers? Mr. Dustoff, in light of that, in light of there being no statute of limitations on murder, obviously that is a serious crime, as described by Mr. Brown. Would you advocate that we retain this data indefinitely and support no period of destruction?
I don't think I personally would, Mr. Chairman, I don't think I'd personally advocate for never getting rid of the data, but I think that from a law enforcement perspective or from solving a crime perspective, the longer that we have to realize that the crime has occurred and to identify who we're looking for or what vehicle we might be looking for, it's helpful.
Mr. Chair and members, obviously we're not, as representative of the county attorneys, we're not taking a position on this bill, and right. We recognize that you have to balance those privacy interests and the need to retain this data to make it useful both for the prosecution and defense. So obviously the impact on law enforcement, longer is better, but we're not taking a position that it should be one period of time or another.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Brown, would it be an undue burden for the county attorneys to have to issue like an administrative subpoena or something for law enforcement to have the right to retain some of the data for a period of time while they're investigating? Maybe, you know, if you have a rape that happens at a particular location and you know that there's data readers in that particular location, you maybe don't know who did it, but you want to sift through that. Would that be a reasonable restriction that in order to retain that data beyond the retention date, that something like an administrative subpoena would be required?
Mr. Brown?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hillstrom, I think I understand your question. Should law enforcement have to make some showing to get access to that data? And certainly we wouldn't have a problem with some access. The only caution I would give in the example you gave is that yours was restricted by location because a crime occurred in a certain place. Oftentimes, and I believe in my example to Senator Hall, the importance of that information or the location of where the license plate reader data was picked up isn't near the location of the crime. Sometimes it is in a violent crime, but then if there's an alibi that the person was not in St. Paul but in Minneapolis, you're actually looking for the data somewhere else. And so simply having law enforcement ask, like a 911 tape, when we ask them, hey, would you retain this? Simply doing that here may not be effective because we simply don't know where the license plate that was relevant is going to be. And I can certainly explain that further if it would be helpful, but I think that I hope that answered your question.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, I mean, the goal, of course, is to figure out what tool you might need in order to not have data that you might need purged, but yet purge the data that you really know you don't need. And so striking that balance, I mean, I understand that you might, you know, first look at a location, and then once you find a suspect plate, you might want to go look at all of the license plates that were read anywhere where that car was, you know, tracing back. But the question is, can you think of a way that might be useful that would distinguish from, you know, regular deletion from needing to retain large amounts of data for a particular case or a particular reason.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hillstrom, I certainly appreciate the difficulty in crafting that. Trying to do that on the fly here seems like a particularly bad idea for me, just because there, off the top of my head, I can think of a number of different ways that this data could be there where we would think it was relevant but can't craft a way to get at it. The example of somebody committing a crime in St. Paul, but their alibi or their purchase of a weapon happened in Minneapolis or Robbinsdale or somewhere else where that, where if we had access to that data, what law enforcement would do is put into the search, once we developed a suspect and knew their license plate or had a witness that said, we saw this car, we would put that plate in for that date, restricted by date and time, and it would tell us that car was near a gun shop in Robbinsdale. Well, the crime happened in St. Paul. Now we want to go look over in Robbinsdale, and is there other information that we can get there? So before we knew that, how we would craft a request from law enforcement to sort of put a hold on that data without having either the license plate number or the locations, I don't know. And so it becomes a challenge for you in deciding what's reasonable. How long are you going to retain this data to make that balance?
Senator Champion.
Mr. Chair, I actually thought Representative Hillstrom was going to ask a slightly different question, because I think you started off asking about access or use of an administrative subpoena, and I thought you were going to take that to its logical deductive end, which is to say, okay, if to gain access to this license plate reader data requires someone to get an administrative subpoena, then if there's a number of places that you need to go to, then that means you need to have an administrative subpoena for each one of those in order to at least see the information, because you're not even sure what's there until you have an opportunity to really look at it. So that would, in my mind, really highlight the difficulty of using an administrative subpoena process, because now you have so many different people in law enforcement agencies that you could perhaps need to go through in order to at least just look at the information. And so to the testifier, to Mr. Brown, does that capture as much as possible the sort of difficulty one might face if there is a requirement to have law enforcement or anyone else use the administrative subpoena process in order to look at this information?
Mr. Brown?
Mr. Chair and Senator Champion, certainly. And depending on how the data is maintained, crafting those requests can be a challenge. We'll certainly leave it to the conference committee, to the bodies, to determine what that balance is. But obviously, unless you're able to know in advance what it is you're looking for in some of these instances, it increases the difficulty in crafting that administrative subpoena. But we will obviously defer to whatever you determine is the right balance.
And just a follow-up, can you articulate for us what is currently the process in order to ascertain an administrative subpoena and what is required?
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Chair and Senator Champion, under the current statute, the county attorney, the elected county attorney, may designate certain employees to authorize administrative subpoenas. And at that point, law enforcement makes a request to the county attorney's office for that type of summary data. And then those authorized attorneys, typically in our office, it's our criminal managers, review that request and sign off on it.
Mr. Chair.
Did you have questions, Senator?
I do.
Senator Hall and then Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you. Mr. Dusterhoff. How long is the retention if an officer spots a license plate and marks it down? How long can he retain that information?
Mr. Dustoff.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hall, I'm not aware of any restriction on an officer writing down and keeping information that he thinks is relevant. I'm not aware of any restriction on that.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Senator Hall. Just kind of thinking about, you know, what's the difference between and maybe you can answer one of you two, the difference between an eyewitness noticing a license plate, just taking note on it for whatever reason, and an LPR, you know.
Mr. Dustoff.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hall, an LPR is simply a technological way to capture a lot more information a lot more quickly than a typical officer could just by writing down that information in his notebook. It's capturing that information. And a police officer who has a lot of other things to do could drive around and write down license plate numbers all day or all night and keep that information as long as he thought it was necessary. The LPR is able to do that so that the officers can be doing other things at the same time.
Sir, Representative Hillstrom.
I find that interesting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Champion, it wasn't that I wanted them to have to get an administrative subpoena to look at the data. My question was, would it be unreasonable to go outside the timeline that you'd put in the statute for retention if you had to get an administrative subpoena? So whatever timeline this conference committee chose to put in law, if there's something that occurred that law enforcement is interested in a time frame and it's within, you know, so if we pick, you know, 90 days or 45 days, whatever day the conference committee, and a crime occurs and you know you want to freeze that LPR data because a crime occurred within that time frame, would it be unreasonable to have the county attorney issue an administrative subpoena to kind of freeze that data from being deleted for preservation purposes? Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think about ways that you don't just automatically lose that data, both for prosecution or for exoneration of folks.
Gotcha. Senator Hayden?
So I have a question. I don't know if the folks from the county attorney's office can help me with this, but we do capture data for just the surveillance cameras that we have around town, either in the trailer or fixed or whatever, in hotspots or wherever, critical infrastructure. Are you guys aware, or maybe someone on the committee aware, how long do we keep that data? Do we keep that infinitely? Because it would seem in the just thinking about your logic about, you know, something happens somewhere and then you start looking at all the cameras based on what your suspect says or whatever, however you do your work, which I think is great. But what's the sense from an industry that you keep that data?
Mr. Brown?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hayden, we are able to get data from a number of different sources, and where we get it from matters as to how long it's kept. Most of the video evidence we get that you talked about is actually from private corporations. An apartment building that has a security camera, one of my early robbery cases, a subway that had their own. And there are no, because they're private businesses, there's no requirement that they keep it for a particular time or destroy it for a period of time. And as the retention systems change, some of them have beautiful big digital systems like our larger corporations. Other, it's smaller, and they don't keep it as long. They're keeping it for typically a month or two just because that's their storage requirement, and hopefully we're getting to them to say, would you keep it for us? And they'll put it aside or save it in some manner. But the private industries, and I would say even our county and state facilities, where if to the extent that they're recording any of it, it really depends on how much capacity they have to keep it. And that's really the limitation, is what's your storage space.
Mr. Brown, did you have another problem?
Well, I just think that starts to get into, I mean, we're on a couple of different places here in terms of, you know, the idea of Senator Hall saying that a police officer just walks around, or a law enforcement officer, and just writes down every license plate that they see. They probably wouldn't do it because they wouldn't have a reason to do it, but they might do it if they're looking for something, right? And so this involuntary way of just, I'm not really looking for something, but just in case something happens, I can go back and get the data. It just seems it troubles me a little bit, but that I didn't want to get caught into that. I think the bigger issue is, from a practice standpoint, you guys kind of, even if there's no law, there's no limitation, you kind of know how far back you try to go to try to find things in a normal case. So I'm just saying, from a practical standpoint, regardless if there was a big Target store that's got a question, use them. But somebody that has a lot of data, big servers or small digital recorders at a local bar or whatever the case may be, there seems to be, I would imagine there's some sort of standard that you would say, yeah, they probably still have that information.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Brown?
Senator Hayden, when law enforcement comes to us with a case, what we will ask them to do is go find every single possible source of evidence as far back as is relevant, so from the crime and maybe even before if we think people were casing the joint, because we want two things. If it's evidence that the people who are suspected of this crime actually did it, we want that. And if there's evidence that the people we suspect of the crime didn't do it, that video evidence exonerates them, we want that too. So we will actually tell them to investigate all of those possible sources so that we have as much information both for our decisions and for the jury ultimately as possible. So in terms of retention, we want as much information that's relevant to these crimes as possible for both proving the crime and showing if somebody's innocent that they are.
Thank you.
Senator Hall?
Back to the what I'll call drive-by retention. Isn't that for a lot of departments or individual officers a routine that, especially the drive-alongs that I've done in the evening, where you just notice a car that's maybe a little out of place, you just write a license plate down, and that's more what I was thinking about. I realize this does a much bigger picture of that, but again, if we're keeping that data, which I think is public data, I'm concerned about getting rid of it because of the usefulness it could be on both sides of the issue. So seeing more of a nodding yes there, I think that's correct. But my concern is then more of the abuse of the data, to tell you the truth. In 90 days, you know, for someone to get easy access to it, and when I say easy for a reason, but not needing a warrant or something like that, but what happens to the kid that, you know, maybe he's missing, and a year later you find that kid in the river, and you go, okay, we need to find out what's happened. And somebody said, I saw her at Southtown, and she lives over north side, and is there any data over there that can help connect? And if we've destroyed all that a year later, or can we make it so it's very secure and not be able to be abused, and at that point get a search warrant or something needed for that? I don't know if that's where we're going to, but that's where my mind goes to. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hall. Mr. Brown, I'm trying to wrap my head around the, and Mr. Jessehoff for that matter, around the statement that Senator Hall stated, which, you know, we've all done ride-alongs where back in the day pre-LPR, even now in cars that don't have LPR, they're scratching on their pad license plate numbers all the time or keying them into the computer and doing checks. Mm-hmm. Is there any current system whereby those checks are uploaded, or is there a record in the computer where those manual checks are now compiled for later use?
Mr. Chair, since I don't use or maintain the law enforcement system as to how the police officer in the squad is actually handling that data, I don't know that either Mr. Dusterhoff or I are going to be in a position to say how they're handling that. We certainly see the end product of that in their police reports, and we'll occasionally note that an officer noticed a suspicious vehicle and wrote, and that was put into their police reports. But if they're handling it some other way, an informal notebook or something, I just don't know.
Do you have any other examples of because I noted previously your statements that you may not know the location of where the crime is going to happen, in which jurisdiction, and you may not know who's going to do it, so it's after the fact that you need to get that information. But what the LPR data does is it tracks everyone and everywhere up until such point as you can narrow down that list. Is there any other that you can think of, any other database whereby law enforcement is collecting all this data on individuals where they did not necessarily have probable cause. And the only one that comes to mind that I'm thinking of is GangNet, when we had all the issues about GangNet. And I certainly don't want us to get into that situation again. And I'm not talking about biometric data, you know, like we do for DPS with the license information, address, hair color, and whatnot. But I'm talking about for the purposes of later complaint or charge. Is there any other database that would be the equivalent?
Mr. Chair, not that I'm aware of, but again, this was relatively short notice, so I'm not. I feel like that's sort of going beyond the scope of what we're sort of prepared to discuss, and I apologize for that. But without having a chance to do more preparation and answer some of that, I just can't.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just add, my understanding of license plate reader systems is it's not information on individuals, it's information on vehicles. And we, as prosecutors and law enforcement, have to do a lot more work to figure out who was actually driving the car. It's just a way to capture where a particular vehicle was at a particular time. And then you have to sift through and do a lot more work to figure out who your suspect is, did that person have access to that vehicle, and is this location at this time important? So I don't mean to argue, but it's a little bit different. It's not completely obvious about what the individual is that you're looking at.
And I appreciate that, Mr. Dustoff, and I've heard that. But, of course, if that were literally true, you would have no interest in it because you can't prosecute a 1994 Dodge Durango. You got to prosecute the person related to it. But no, I understand that perspective. Senator Hall?
Oh, I was just going to say on your earlier question, we do have the Sheriff's Department over here, State Patrol, that probably would have a better idea of your question.
Does someone from the state or BCA or State Patrol wish to be heard on this question? If so, we would welcome it. Sorry to put you on the spot. Senator Hall, which question did you want answered specifically on that point?
Well, it was your question.
Oh, my question. Okay, you wanted my question answered. Yeah. Okay, so I'll rephrase it. Is this in your opinion equivalent to GangNet, or are there any other databases that you would imagine that this is equivalent to, whereby you're collecting data not under the auspices of, say, Terry v. Ohio or other evidentiary collection standards, but in anticipation that you may later find a crime was committed and you want to use that database later to link the suspect with other identifying information.
By the way,
I'd probably be totally ruled out of order on that question in court, so I apologize.
And you're also talking about when a police officer writes down the information, then he does a manual check of it.
Great.
And any place where that information is compiled.
Excellent.
It all.
Yeah, okay, that question too.
Okay. Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Drew Evans. I'm the Assistant Superintendent at the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. Members, to the questions, I'll answer them in the reverse order asked. When the plate is being run through our portals, through the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension systems, there is a audit log that is created so that we can audit those files later on to determine who is running what, when, where, et cetera. So it is being logged through a system. However, again, it's not quite akin to LPR data. It's not automatically recording the location information as to where that may be. So you'd be able to follow up on that. And we do that through investigations when we're looking at a particular vehicle, considered an offline search, that we'd go back to determine if anybody ran a particular plate, but not in the context of collecting numerous plates that may or may not be committed. We're looking for a particular plate within the database that we have at the time. The other question concerning, could you remind me? The
other question was, are there equivalent databases that collect information short of reasonable suspicion?
Mr. Chair, members, I think that that's reasonable suspicion, or you know, without defining the particular standard, I think the closest thing you'd see would be when we're utilizing phone toll information. In other words, phone, not necessarily content or location information, but when you're looking for relationships and particular investigations between different phone numbers that may have called somebody. It's similar data in the sense that it's only a number, and we would have to do additional information as additional follow-up as Mr. Dusterhoff has referenced. But again, in those situations, we're utilizing administrative subpoenas and or search warrants to obtain that information prior to examining it in relation to other evidence in those cases.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. That is quite helpful. Are there any other questions? Senator Hall.
Thank you. And to the testifier, how long do you know that that phone information is retained? Not necessarily by you, but how, I mean, can you go back 10 years?
Mr. Evans.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hall, it's a different depending on the case. So in those situations, it's information that is obtained in relation to a criminal investigation, which is then retained in reference with our data retention schedule that we develop at our organization. So for certain, it depends on the type of case. So if it is if it's a narcotics case, that would be retained for a period of 7 years in that case file. If it's a homicide, it would be retained indefinitely as part of that retention schedule. So it really depends on the type of crime we're investigating, because it's the length of time it's retained is tied to the particular case in which it was obtained for.
Senator Hall.
Mr. Chair, my question was more, do you know how long that the phone company holds that kind of information for you to be able to access?
Mr. Evans.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hall, I don't know specific retention schedules. I will say it's a significant period of time. Years is typically the time frame.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. We are running short on time when the available testifier is able to be here. So do we have a representative from the defense bar who is able to?
Public defender.
That's defense bar.
Okay. Sorry.
Didn't want to exclude any privates in case they were out there. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members. I'm Robert Sikora. I work for the State Board of Public Defense. You've been grappling with a fairly broad range of issues regarding LPR and retention. I'm here to address the board's position on a narrower slice of that, and that is the point that Mr. Brown made very well, that a prosecutor's client is justice, and they are just as interested in exculpating as inculpating an individual. And to do that, the Board of Public Defense would argue in favor of symmetry and balance. So in any circumstance where you authorize the retention of data, we recommend that you retain all of it so that other people who may or may not be related to the event under investigation have the LPR data available for exoneration.
Thank you, Mr. Sikora. Is that the only Senator Hayden?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Sikora. That's interesting. So it sounds, so if we did the inverse of that, you would say none, don't collect it at all. I mean, if you want to collect all of it to ensure that your client's rights are protected and the prosecutor doesn't have an advantage, then on the inverse of that, I'm saying that then you don't retain any of the information, and then you're once again at 11 Clearfield from the LPR, you know what I'm trying to say.
Mr. Score.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hayden, yes, that is the inverse argument. It's sort of an all or nothing argument. It's a sauce. What's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. In this case, the individual who could be exonerated. You would hate to have a scene where data were retained causing someone to be inculpated, but not all of the data is now available because some of it has been purged because it's selectively been retained.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So one of the examples that I gave yesterday, which kind of raised some of these questions, was, so for example, if you have a rape scene that maybe you don't know who committed the rape, but you want to go through and find out who was all there, you might use the LP data to find out which vehicles were present, who was present, and then you might find one piece of a license plate, and then you want to go and run the search in all sorts of other places. So you would then want all the data from that time frame, right, retained for everywhere they searched? Is that what I'm saying?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hilstrom, as soon as you take the argument and play it out to its logical extreme, you are saying retain a huge amount of data. I it's not the board's position. Personally, I find it troubling to start retaining those large amounts of data, but I believe that would be necessary if you're interested in a criminal justice system that is balanced and symmetrical.
So, Mr. Sikora, my understanding is that the Board of Public Defense position is only predicated on the assumption that if we do retain any, we have to retain all of it. But the Board of Public Defense does not have a position that has anything to do with the question of whether we do start retaining non-hit data. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, you've stated it correctly.
Okay, thank you. Senator Hall.
So, Mr. Gore, you're also saying you would like just equal access to the data. Is that what I'm hearing?
Mr. Sikora?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hall, yes, that's correct.
And, Mr. Chair?
Senator Hall.
Are you also stating that you're not giving us an amount of access time? The longer the better. Are you in? Would you work that way, too, as the defenders would?
Mr. Sikora?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hall, the board does not take a position on a period of retention. I can tell you from being involved in this issue for a long time that I've appreciated your roles in struggling with this question, because on one extreme you have perfect law enforcement. You retain everything about everybody forever, and that would allow you to have a really efficient law enforcement system. But obviously, to get to that point, you're making a lot of sacrifices about living in a free society. And I appreciate the struggle that you guys have had since you began to grapple with this issue last year. It's not an easy balance to find. And it would be difficult to look at one narrow set of facts and say we were unable to find the bad guy because we allowed that data to get purged. But there are an awful lot of trade-offs if you have that panopticon where everybody's movements are constantly tracked and recorded and kept.
Senator Hall? No. Any other questions for Mr. Sikora while we have him here? Seeing none, then thank you very much for your for being here, Mr. Sikora. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify?
Can we arrange for anyone else?
No.
We're satisfied with questions.
Any other questions that members of the committee have for anyone who has testified already? Okay. Seeing none, then it's my expectation that the members of the Commerce Committee have more information to digest. I know that I, for one, would probably like to hear a little bit more about the administrative subpoena process. I understand it comes attendant with maybe some other issues, but it was one of the things that Representative Hilstrom had suggested last year when this issue came up. It was over a year ago, actually, probably in March of 2013. Senator Champion, I know that between now and our meeting on Monday, I would probably like to explore that a little bit more. And hopefully by that point, the chair of the House side, Representative Holbrook, will be here as well. Representative Hilstrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, when I was talking about administrative subpoena, it was for the purpose of retention, mm-hmm. not for the purpose of viewing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. There being no other questions, then the conference committee is adjourned.